quiet, everybody. Listen up, listen up. Judges chapter 13. You having fun at youth camp already? This is only the start. It's about to get a lot better. Judges chapter 13. I promise I'm not going to be long because we got games after this and want to get out there. You got to wait and see, all right? So everyone have their pens and books and taking notes. Remember, you're getting points when you take down notes. So you want to score as many points as you can for your team. Judges chapter 13. Just going to read a few verses and then we're going to pray and I'm going to bring the message. Judges chapter 13. Begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not. But thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Lord, I pray that you be with us this morning, Lord. That you help us to learn something from your word this morning, Lord. That you help us to leave this place changed, Lord, and to be able to go back home and to be different, Father. I pray that you'd help us this morning to think with a clear mind, Lord, and that you'd help us to learn something today, Lord. And we pray this in your Son's precious name. Amen. So the children of Israel, who knows what God talks about when he talks about the children of Israel? Anyone know who the children of Israel is? The Israelites. Anything else? They're God's children. Yeah, they're a holy nation, actually, the Bible talks about. And right throughout the Old Testament, we see that God chose this group of people called his holy nation, you know, children of Israel. And he works with them right through the Old Testament. And first time they were out and they messed up and they were sinning. God sent him for 40 years. He sent him somewhere. Does anyone know where they went for 40 years? They were wandering somewhere. In the desert, in the wilderness, yeah. And you think that people would learn after a while. I mean, every time they make a mistake, every time they sin and they turn their backs on God, God punishes them, you know, and he sends them away. And you think after a period of time that they'd start to cop on and see, you know, Lord, this is no joke, you know, that God takes things serious. Well, now we come to Judges chapter 13, and again, we're still dealing with the children of Israel. And in verse 1 it says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord." This wasn't the first time that they messed up. They have already done it times after time. And again, this time, they have sinned. And I'm just going to give you a little bit of a free lesson. You don't pay for this bit, all right? So you might want to write this down because this is good stuff here. So the children of Israel, God calls them a holy nation. His holy people. There's also a place in the Bible that God calls the Holy Land. Anyone heard about that? The Holy Land. God's land's the Holy Land. This morning, we're holding a book. This is God's Word. It's called the Holy Bible. Should say it on your Bible, the Holy Bible. Now let me ask you, what makes something holy? What makes something holy? Anyone know? What makes something holy? Yeah. Why is these people called the Holy Nation? Why is this God's Word called the Holy Bible? Why is God's land called the Holy Land? It's called the Holy Land, it's called the Holy Book, it's called the Holy Nation because it belongs to God. You know that when if you're saved here this morning, that when you got saved that God bought you, that he paid a price for you, so you belong to God. So therefore, you ought to be holy. The Bible commands us, it says, be holy, as I am holy. We ought to be holy. Now here we have this chosen group of people, the children of Israel, that's supposed to be holy, and they've messed up again. They're in sin again. And, you know, I wonder so many times that we ought to be holy, and we ought to be doing the right things, and we mess up. You know, we fall back in sin. God has chosen this group of people, and God has chosen you also. The question is this morning, will you allow Him to work through you? Will you, when God speaks to you, will you listen to Him? Will you allow Him to work in your heart? Are you going to be like the children of Israel and just turn your back on Him? See, they didn't care what God thought. They didn't care about anything. They went back and they did those things that they wanted to do. If we look, and also in chapter 12, we see Israel, they came to that point where they had no judge. Every time God gave him a deliverer, a judge, and it says in chapter 12, it talks about, just the end of the chapter, it says that Ibzan, the 10th judge, and then it goes on to Elon, the 11th judge, and Abdon, the 12th judge, and at the very ending of the chapter, it says, and Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Parathonite, died. I guess he was a pirate. And he was buried in Parathon, in the land of Egypt, in the Mount of the Amalekites. Yeah, there you go. Well, so they came to this point where the judge died, right? And everyone did good in their own eyes, and everyone did what they thought was good in their own eyes. Can't even read my own writing now. So my point is, these people, they didn't care. They didn't care what was happening around them. They didn't care what God think. And I think how often, you know, you're here at youth camp, and you came here and you're pretending you're supposed to be holy. You know, you're acting around us. Well, not all of you anyway. But you're acting all good, you know, and you're pretending to be good. But back home, I wonder how you treat your parents. And I wonder how you listen to them, you know. Are you living like a devil back home? You know, are you just saying, hey, this is what I want to do. I don't care, folks. I don't care, parents, what you're thinking about it. This is what I'm going to do. See, Romans chapter 3, in verse 23, quote it with me if you can. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then in chapter 3, in verse 10, it says that there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, and I'm so glad that as Christians, we have the advantage. You know, see, these people are children, or these children of Israel, they were under the law. They had all these the different things that they had to obey. But as a Christian, we have advantage. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 14, the Bible says, For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. See, when Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins, we are not under the law anymore. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Jesus was a gift to us. So let's go back to verse 1. The Bible says, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. You know, there's always a consequence for your sin. You think these people, first time they messed up, they went into the wilderness for 40 years. Now again, they've turned their backs on God. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. And this time, God delivered them and put them into the hands of the Philistines. Now the Philistines were really rough people. You didn't want to mess with them. You know, they were the people that killed their children for worship. And what kind of sick person is that? You know, so God put these children of Israel, he put them in the hands of the Philistines, and they became slaves to the Philistines, and they just treat them like real bad, and they did everything that they wanted to them, you know, and they couldn't do anything. These people were over them. You know, God has chosen you also. I wonder if you're gonna if you want to cooperate, or if you rather want to go with the consequences. One of my favorite things to do or to watch on TV is I like two programs. One of them is called Cops. It's my favorite program. I always love watching that. I love watching these guys that, you know, they know if they do drugs, and they know if they're speeding, and they know if they're doing bad things, that there are consequences. And I always love when they get caught. Like, you know, they always, it's just like best thing. Another show I love is America's Dumbest Criminals. I mean, those guys are stupid, but I mean, like, how can you even get away with some of this, the things they do? Now, there was a guy a few years ago called the Seattle Man. Has anyone heard of the Seattle Man before? No. It was pretty funny. Well, this guy, he thought about stealing petrol from a mobile home. And he was standing there, and I think it was in the middle of the day, too. And the guy's out there, and he's got this long hose, and he's putting it down in the tank. You know, he's got his little petrol can over there, and he's sucking on the pipe. About 5 minutes later, the guy inside the house, who was actually a cop, but he was off duty, he was home, and he looked outside, and he saw this guy, and he's like, "What?" And he runs out, and the guy saw him, and the guy takes off running. Well, the guy didn't even run about 100 meters, and he just collapsed, like he fell on the floor, and he got there, and the guy didn't even press charges or anything. He was just laughing at them, and the guy's sick, he's throwing up. So what happened is he thought that he was sucking on the petrol, but actually put the pipe in the sewage tank, and he was sucking out of the sewage pipe, and he had swallowed it. So it's just ridiculous, you know. But the point is this, that there is a consequence for those things, you know. Like the guy, he was stealing. Well, eventually it got up with him, you know. I remember as a kid, we'd make a fire, and we'd sit down and have a barbecue and stuff, and my mom. When I was small, you know, I'd go by the fire and my mom say, you know, "Don't touch that. It's hot. It's going to burn you." And then I didn't think too much. My dad is like, every time I want to touch it, my mom takes me away. And then my dad's like, "Leave him, you know, leave him. If he touches it and it burns, he'll learn." And she's like, "No, I can't do that," and whatever. But she left me, and, you know, I touch it and I burn. There's always going to be a consequence for our sin. So at this time, Israel, they had no judge. Everyone did good in their own eyes, and there was no one to rule over them. Just before I came out here, I was driving to my church in Fontana, and the cops pulled me over, and they gave me a ticket. After the cop wrote me a ticket, he turned around and he said, "Now this is for your own good." And I never understand that. I'm like, you know, why is it for my good? You know, just wait until I'm the cop giving you a ticket and let's see if it's for your good, you know? And never really understand it. But just imagine if we didn't have the cops around, if there wasn't any car, if everyone just did what they thought was good. If you went around, hey, you thought it's good to take something. But Jamie, just give me all your money. It's good. I like it, man. I'm gonna take it. You know, and there's trouble. You know, people would go around just killing each other, stealing. There's no any rules or any order, you know. So these people were lost. They came to the point where they needed help. So God decided, after punishing for a time, he decided, okay, well, God has a plan. God always has a plan. So God said, I'll raise up a judge. I'll bring a judge that's going to help, that's going to start delivering my people. So you see God's plan for his chosen people. I call this the Samson solution, if you will. Samson solution. Not that it really was a solution in the end, but for now we just call it the Samson solution. Let's see. I'll keep reading. Samson was a special child. Keep reading verse 2 there. "And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not. Thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. You see, Samson had a special birth. Can you think of anyone else in the Bible that came with it, that had a special birth? Any other Bible character that just... I'm not talking about unnatural birth, no. See, Jesus had a special birth, right? He had a special birth, but it was unnatural. Mary was a virgin. This is not the case. You have Manoah and his wife. Let's call her Woman Noah or something. And they couldn't have any children. Basically, they've been married for such a long time, they weren't having any children, so you conclude that they just can't have any children, right? Mary was a different case. She was a virgin, and she had a child. Now, that's totally different. But any other Bible character that has the same kind of thing? Which? Isaac. Samuel. Yeah, Samuel is the one I was thinking of too. You're right, Isaac, and also Jacob, yeah. But Samuel was very like Samson in this way. You see, Hannah came to the point where she also, just like Manoah and Woman Noah, she couldn't have any children, so she prayed, and she asked God to give her a child, and the Lord did. He blessed her with a child later on, and for the sake of this lesson, we'll compare Samuel with Samson. But see, Manoah and his wife was different. See, they weren't sitting down, at least not in what I've read, they weren't sitting down and praying and saying, Lord, please, we can't have any children, give us a child. No, the Lord picked them out of the group. He picked them and he decided, hey, those two people are good. I'm going to use them and I'm going to give them a child. And then the angel appeared unto them and said unto them, you shall have a child. And so God chose them. So he gave them this a free gift of a child. And if you think that, you're also a gift to your parents. The Bible says that children are a gift of God. So God used Manoah and Woman Noah to bring Samson, the new judge of Israel, in. And we see that God also, he uses clean vessels. God doesn't just use anyone, he uses clean vessels. I wonder, do you want to be used of God? I mean, obviously it's a desire of every person, I would think, to be one to use of God, but God can't just use anybody. I mean, you take this cup, and if you spit in this cup, if I spit in this cup, are you going to drink out of it? You're weird. No, you wouldn't use that. You wouldn't use a clean cup. Well, God doesn't use, you wouldn't use a dirty cup. God doesn't use a dirty cup. He only uses clean vessels. Now, it's possible that he would, but he's looking for a clean vessel. And what happened is he was looking for two people that was good that he could use, and he chose Manoah and Woman Noah, and that they should have Samson that was going to deliver the people. You know, Samson was a special boy, but he also was a special gift from God. And like I said earlier, children is a special gift. It's a special gift from God. So we see Samson's special birth. Also, he came from a special environment. I'll keep reading there in verse 8 because we got to move fast. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send again, come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened unto the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came unto the woman, as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that come unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that speakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine, nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. So we see that Samson came from a special environment. You know, your parents are trying hard back home for you to provide a good roof over your house or a good roof over your head. You know, they've tried everything they can. They may not be Christian parents. I'm blessed. I come from a Christian family. You might not have Christian parents, but I can guarantee you that every one of your parents would not have you sleep on the street or have you pay the bills or anything. One of the things we do in the States, we go around on the bus and we pick up all these little kids, and I look at half of them, and their parents are doing drugs. They have a roof over their heads, but that's all they have. They don't have anything else. And I think most of you, if not all of you, come from at least a good home. You know, at least your mom and your dad are still together. You know, or at least you have a place to sleep every night. You have food to eat every day, and you come from a good background. Well, Samson also came from a good background. Well, he came from a Christian home. He came from where his two parents were chosen by God to deliver begin to deliver the children of Israel. And we see in verse 8 also that Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us that we shall do what we shall do unto what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. So they were Christian parents. They were people that was ready. God used them. And you know, I'm just wondering, as I was thinking preparing this lesson, I wonder if you thank your parents for what they've done for you. You know, if you after this camp are able to just tell them thank you for what they've done. One of the things I remember, you know, we always, my mom, she does loads of things. She collects spoons and stuff, so I'll bring her back a little teaspoon from America or something, you know. And I gave her one for her birthday as well. But one of the best gifts that she's ever gotten from us was my brother. He got a folder, and he started cutting out pictures from our family and stuff that we did together with my mom, and he stuck them in there. And then he had a page that we would just, everyone just write a little message. And, you know, in that we just thank her. Mom, thank you for everything you've done. Mom, thank you for all the food you cooked us. You know, everything you've done in our life. We put all those things down. And I remember giving that when he gave that to my mom. You know, she was sitting there, and it was like the most amazing thing she ever got. You know, you could see like there's tears coming in her eyes and everything. And she was just so happy that, you know, she as a parent, you know, she has done well. And I'm wondering how many of you even thank your parents for just giving you food every day. Just the little things, you know, just providing a place for you to sleep every night. You know, those could be the best things that you could ever give your mom or your dad. Just tell them thank you. Just tell them thank you. Write them a thank you note. Pastor's going to, there's going to be a time that you get your mobile phones back. I don't know if you get them every day. Well, let me tell you, just send a text back home. I love you, Mom. You know, thank you for allowing me to come out to youth camp. Just anything like that. Just send them a text. And I can guarantee you they'll appreciate it. You know, and if not, and that they would also probably, you know, have something, make you a special dinner if you go home. I don't know what you guys do, but I know they will appreciate that. So, Samson came from this good godly environment. Samuel also came from a very special environment. He was, his mom sent him to grow up in the church with the priest. Every day he learned about the Bible, he grew, and He was in a good environment. You're also a good environment. But let me say this. Your environment does not make who you are. You know, you can be in a good environment. You can get everything. But that doesn't determine who you're going to be. Ruth, she's not in here now, but she's in Bible college with me. And I tell you, Bible college is probably one of the best environments you can be in. And we get up in the morning, it's busy, you know, it's one thing after the other. You can ask yourself, you get up at 5 in the morning, sit down, read your devotions real quick, then you go for breakfast. When you come back for breakfast, you got to go to class. Then you go to class all day. When you're done at class, you come back, you go to work. After you come back from work, you sit down, you do your homework. When you're done with your homework, you have to go to dorm devotions. When you're done with dorm devotions, it's 11 o'clock at night. It's time to go to bed. And then that's Monday. And then the whole thing starts again Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and it keeps going. Saturday morning, you're lucky. You get about half an hour extra sleep. You know, you can sleep in about half an hour, and then it's soul winning meeting. So then everyone goes back to soul winning meeting. You go soul winning all day, you come back. And it's the same thing over and over. Sunday morning, you get up, you go to church. After you're done with church, you go to Sunday school. When you're done with Sunday school, you got to go serve in your ministry. You know, you get on a bus ride, you ride your bus until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You come back, you sit down, you have your lunch real quick for about half an hour. When you're done, you got to go back on the bus because you got to take the kids back to their homes. When you're done with that, it's about 20 minutes before evening service starts. You got to go back, go to church. Go to church. After church, it's about 8 o'clock. Then you get to sit down for your dinner. When you're done with your dinner, you got to sit down and fill in a focus report. When you're done with your focus report, it's for you. Time to get back to your dorm. You sit down, have dorm devotions. It's 11 o'clock, back to bed. Next day is Monday. You start all over again. But in this whole process, the whole time, you're dealing with things about the Bible. You're dealing with God's Word. You're dealing with other people. You know, it's all about ministry. It's a great environment to be in. But the difference is getting up half an hour earlier every morning. You don't get up half an hour early, you don't get to do your devotions. As soon as you skip your devotions, it's over. You don't get another time during the day to do it. Then everything else, one thing after the other, the whole time. There's not time. So your environment doesn't make who you are. You got to determine in your heart what you want to be and what you want to do. You know, I mentioned about sending notes to your parents, sending them text messages, whatever. You got to decide here if you're going to do it and if you're not going to do it. So we see Samson's birth, Samson's environment, also a special relationship. Move quick. We just move to the end of the chapter in verse 24. It says in verse 24, "And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtemoa." You know, sometimes God blesses regardless of what we do. I can just think many times, I've never really deserved any gift that I got. You know, someone just walk up to me and like, "Hey, you know, here's 10 euros. You know, go buy or something." I didn't deserve that. I just got it. But sometimes God blesses us, even when we don't deserve things. It said that Samson, he grew and the Lord blessed him. You know, as a child, the Lord gave him all that strength. He became the strongest man in the Bible, the strongest guy that we know of. You know, he had all the strength. The Lord blessed him with that. The Lord gave him all those things. And then it says in the next verse, "And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him." You know, Samson, he got the feeling. You guys are going to sit here. We're going to hear some good preaching. I know I'm the first guy. I'm not really good at preaching, but I'm the first guy. The best preaching is coming later on. And you're going to hear some good preaching, and you're going to sit down and say, "Hey, man, God really got a hold of my heart that time, and it's good, and, you know, I want to be saved, or, you know, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to do something for my pastor. I'm going to leave this camp, and when I get back, I'm going to serve in church, and, you know, it's going to be great." And then you're going to leave here, and it's all be good. You'll be excited. And 2-3 weeks down the road, it's all just going to crash. You become cold again. And I wonder, why does that happen? Why does it happen? Well, it happened to Samson. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord moved him at times in the camp. You know, Samson, he got the feeling, but he never really got the relationship. He never had the real relationship with God. He got the blessings. He was able to go around, kill people, had all the strength and everything, but he never got the relationship, you know. He got the feeling. Samuel, on the other hand, he had the relationship. When God called him and said, "Samuel, Samuel," you know, he said, speak, Lord." You know, he answered. He had the relationship with God. So this morning we got Samuel and Samson, both of them which had a special birth. Both people came out of a special environment. One had a special relationship. Samson only got the feeling. He never had the relationship. He only got the feeling. This morning I'm wondering, what are you going to walk away with here when you leave camp? How long is this going to stick, you know? First of all, are you going to be willing that God would use you? God has chosen you. If you're here, God has chosen you to make a difference here in Ireland. But are you just going to leave 3 weeks being all excited about everything, and then just let it die off? I know it has happened before with me, you know, and it has happened here with Samson. It's pretty clear. My biggest concern is just that it won't stick. You know, that you'd only get the feeling and not the relationship. If you make a decision at camp today, let me encourage you to write it down in the front of your Bible. Whether it be today or tomorrow. If you get saved, write it down in the front of your Bible. And then look back on it. When you go home and you tell your pastor, "Hey, pastor, I got saved at camp. Hey, pastor, I got called to preach at camp." But then look back in your Bible every week, every day, every time you do your devotions. Look back at it and see the decision you make so that you don't forget it. That you don't forget that you did not just get the feeling. It's my prayer for all of you to go back and just take camp home with you. Just let it last. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. Father, I thank you for every Christian that's here, Lord. Every kid that's here today, Lord. Lord, if they're not saved, Father, I pray that today would be the day, Lord, that they get saved, Father. And Lord, I pray that we won't just leave this campsite with a feeling, Lord, but that we'd leave with a relationship with you, Lord. Something that's going to last, Lord. Something that's going to keep us, Lord. So we won't be like the children of Israel, Lord, that did evil again, Lord. But Father, that we'd stay here, Lord, and that we'd serve you, Father. Lord, I pray that you'd be with all of us today, Lord, that you'd keep us safe, Lord, that you'd be with the games as well, Lord, and bless us in the preaching that's coming up as well, Father. I pray that you'd be with all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.